Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. Back in the house is Andrew P. Shea. And Andy, start of quarter four. You know what that means. We got to name our winner from our Ask Ross segment, and that is Kent from North Carolina. Congratulations, Kent. We will be getting in touch with you about your KSN sweatshirt. Andy, in quarter number one, we talked about the folks that were leaving the program, and we focused on those individuals. The fact is they needed to pare the roster down a bit. Yeah. They're currently at 84. I don't think there's much doubt that it will go down a little bit further because they need to go transfer portal shopping. And I wanted to take a look at the roster a bit. Where are the places that they should be shopping in the transfer portal? You know, we could go through every position. I think there's a lot of positions where we don't expect activity. Running back, they've got enough players. Quarterback, whether you like it or not, Sean Clifford's coming back. He's going to be the guy. I don't see them doing anything there. The tight
Sean
end.
Sean Clifford's the starter. You know, you got to add that line. Sean Clifford will be the starter.
Tight end is full. Wide receiver, yep. They did bring in somebody. There's some obvious places, and we're going to start at the position that we did talk about some in the first quarter, which is offensive line. They're down several starters, Rasheed Walker, Eric Wilson, Mike Miranda. Three of the five starters for most of the season are out. But let's start with this, Andy. Even the raw numbers, something you alluded to earlier, there are only 13 offensive linemen on scholarship right now. To explain what that means, if you think in terms of the whole roster, there being 22 players on the field, offense and defense, and you get 85 scholarships, that's almost a four deep at each position.
Correct.
13 scholarships, you're 2.5 deep at offensive line. Another way to look at this, you compare it to the defensive line where you typically play four guys only, not five like the offensive line. There are 19 scholarship defensive linemen. So just in raw numbers, you're short at offensive line, aren't you?
Oh, you are desperately short on many fronts on the offensive line. The number is a big concern because of the guys you mentioned just a moment ago who are no longer there. Plus you have, you know, Anthony Wiggins no longer there. Des Holmes is no longer there. There's two more, you know, numbers and guys who have played that are no longer there. So what you're looking at is, this is the way it breaks down to me. So you have 13 guys. Olufashinu's looking like he's going to be a viable offensive line candidate at left tackle. You're going to have Juice Scruggs at center. And you've got Caden Wallace somewhere along the right-hand side of the offensive line. Whether that's a guard or tackle, that's a right side. So that's three. So that means you've got 10 guys left to fill the rest of a starting offensive line and a second of a depth chart. They have to be active in the transfer portal at the scholarship number two. That's why you're right. They do have some more roster pairing probably to do because this is the year you don't get the COVID scholarship bounce. You know, you don't get the bump for those scholarships. You're back under the hard limit. So they've been light in recruiting along the offensive line. This was the second consecutive class where they were light along the offensive line. For me, you need to have a minimum of 15 to have even like a marginally average healthiness in that room. I mean, they should be shopping their tails off for offensive linemen unless they know something we don't. Every one of these young guys is really good. But, I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know what the what the solution is up front, like in terms of what you're looking for guys in the transfer portal. I'm not a coach, but I just know that their offensive line development and play has been pretty mediocre to absolutely miserable for the better part of two seasons. And now they have a numbers and a serious depth problem. Oh boy, this is the off-season topic that we are not going to stop talking about, because it's not like they have 15 new candidates to go to and they've got, you know, 18, 19, 20 guys in the room. They've got, you know, several four-star and a five-star recruit coming in. They don't have that, Jimmy. They're light, they're short, they've been playing poorly, and they haven't been developing well. So they've got a real issue going on up front, and it's kind of been a thing for James Franklin as the Penn State coach since he kind of took over.
And just to explain real quick for those who don't understand, you reference what you called the COVID bump, Andy, which was last year when players were given a free year because of COVID. And in the first year of that, this past season, the NCAA, if you had what they were calling super seniors, guys who were staying that extra year of eligibility, if you had five of them, you had five extra scholarships. This year, you might still have players taking advantage of that COVID year, but you're not allowed to exceed that 85 limit. So a lot of schools are battling with that whole issue of getting themselves under that 85 scholarship limit. There's no doubt that the offense, they are shopping for offensive line in the portal. We know that for a fact. My question is, you know, what is it they're looking for? And it was intriguing. You mentioned Caden Wallace as being on the right side. He's been starting at tackle, but many people think he would be a better guard than tackle. You have a guy named Landon Tengwall who will be a redshirt freshman. People think very highly of him. He could also play guard or tackle, but a lot of folks think his best position is guard. So as you go keep looking at this, you know, I think what's available in the portal may determine what you bring in and may determine whether Caden Wallace is a tackle or a guard, correct?
Yeah, I think how you use Caden Wallace is going to be not what is best for him, but where does he have to play? Not what is his best position, like bumping him inside and not playing him at tackle. I think he's going to have to be the guy that's going to play in a spot where it might not be ideal, but it's where he has to play and where he can function. I do agree. I'd like to see him play guard. I think there are elements that make me think he would be a better guard, but if you can't find somebody to hold an edge at the right tackle and feel comfortable with that, then you're going to have to put him there.
The other place, let's take a look on the other side of the ball on the defense. A little more complicated there, but if you start with the defensive line, three out of four starters are now gone. Arnold Ibikiti, who came in from the portal, did really well. Tangelo, another portal guy, gone. Jesse Luceda, who made that transformation to defensive end really well, he's gone. So when you look at defensive line, is that another place for a candidate for transfer portal?
I mean, if you could find an Arnold Ibikiti and you think he's going to be what he turned into, you definitely... and he wants to come to Penn State. Yeah, you take that guy. I think I saw a mock draft the other day where he could go, like, I think Mel Kiper had him going in the first round. And I'm like, I kind of could see that. That guy was really, really good all year. But I don't think they have an offensive line problem where they need to be actively and overtly shopping along the defensive line. I really don't. I mean, you've got a couple guys coming back from injury, P.J. Mustafa, Adisa Isaac, right? They are coming back from injury. Little bit of question mark, but they got a whole offseason. In Isaac's case, he didn't play all year, so that's a full year to get himself back and, you know, back ready to play and healthy. So I think that's helpful. I thought the guys that I saw when in the middle when, you know, when Tanzo didn't play in the bowl game and after, you know, Mustafa went down. And I wasn't displeased with the inside tackle play at all this season from Penn State. I didn't think it was a weakness. I didn't think it was a problem. I thought, you know, because I Izzard did pretty good. I like the guys that they played in the middle. I think they're fine along the defensive line.
I will feel a whole lot better, though, if P.J. Mustafa is healthy. The other position to look at is linebacker, where they lost two out of three starters in Ellis Brooks, Brandon Smith. And I'm also going to put in there again, Jesse Lucada is gone. And the reason why I'm mentioning him is when I believe it was Ellis Brooks was out because of a targeting play, you know, half the next game, it was Jesse Lucada who they plugged in there. So that's down a lot of quality talent at linebacker, a position they were fairly thin at even last season.
Yeah, last year you had four of them, basically. You played four guys if you put Curtis Jacobs in there. Those were your four linebackers. Three of them are gone. So Curtis Jacobs, to me, at this position, he's the only Power 5 known quantity at linebacker. That's pretty much it. There's only seven of them on the roster, right? And four of them are either freshmen who are just coming in or they're going to be sophomores in 2022. So that's pretty much it. Your other two are Charlie Catcher. He's from Cumberland Valley High School. He's played 26 games over 3 years, 20 career tackles. Tyler Elsden, he's from North Schuylkill, another Pennsylvania school. He played 10 games last year, seven tackles. Those are your vets, Jimmy. Those are your three veteran linebackers along with Curtis Jacobs. The other four are freshmen or going to be sophomores next year, second-year players. So they should be shopping in the transfer portal looking for something to help with Curtis Jacobs. They have a need at linebacker. I don't care how much a guy who played in three games or four games last year might develop. That's still only one. I think you need at least two out of a transfer portal to help the depth at this position.
Yeah, I agree with you, Andy. And just for clarification, those two sophomores are actually going to be redshirt freshmen as they famously sat out the bowl game because it would have burned their redshirt year. And, you know, some people have commented, well, it depends. How confident are you on those players to plug right in and play? That's only part of the question. But when you're that young and inexperienced, they're definitely not sure things, Andy. And with that the situation, I'm in agreement. Personally, my take is if you're shopping transfer portal, how about getting yourself one offensive lineman, one defensive lineman, and at least one linebacker? And that would fill up your shopping cart as far as the portal goes. All right, Andy, unfortunately, that is it for time. We're done with quarter number four. That is it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.